Today on Hardwired.
This storm and this journey across the sea is a picture of life. And the first thing that we need to realize about life is that storms happen when you least expect it. They do not send you a telegram, special delivery, I will be there in a week. Storms come suddenly.
You're listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference as it's hardwired into your life, your relationships, and your future. You may be stuck in traffic or maybe even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. It's so good to have you with us, and thank you for joining us. Well, today we're going to begin what I'm calling the Bible Blockbuster Series. And the first thing I want to deal with is one of my favorite Bible stories. It's when the disciples were out at sea and a terrible storm arose. They panicked. They freaked out. They wondered if the Lord was even going to save them. They thought they were going to drown. And of course, Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves and saved them. But there's something we can really learn here about fear, because that story is really an illustration of life. Sometimes we just feel like things are out of control. Where's God? Is He going to help me? So let's go right to the first message in our Bible Blockbuster Series, Fear Factor, The Disciples at Sea.
Got to make a confession to you. I don't watch much TV, and I've never watched The Fear Factor. I have seen a few excerpts, but I watched a few minutes of it, kind of said that's not for me, but I got the gist. And here's the gist. The Fear Factor, they would give two teams challenges. Some of them were mental challenges, some physical challenges, but there's always a scary factor to them. A little bit frightening what they were being asked to do, or gross or something like that. And when it got right down to the end of the show, you were given the scariest challenge of all. And if you won, not only did you get $50,000, I believe, which would knock the fear out of some of you, but the host would come up to you, and here's what he would say. He would say, evidently, fear is not a factor for you. And that was the way it ended. Evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Now, I want to tell you that for every person in this sanctuary today, here's what God wants to be able to say over us. Evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear that we would be locked into and bound up in fear. But He has given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. The Holy Ghost never panics. And so we need to learn how to yield to Him in the time of storm. But I hope that when we finish today, it will begin to be said of you and of me by those who watch us go through difficult times, even stormy times. Evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Can you say with me, fear is not a factor for me? Can you preach it to me one more time? Fear is not a factor for me, because you're a child of God. Now, I love this story. It all begins with Jesus commanding the disciples to get into the boat because they're going to cross to the other side. They were getting into a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And He said, let's cross over to the other side. So they had a divine mandate to go from A to B, a divine mandate to go from here to there. I've learned a long time ago that when you're walking with the Lord Jesus, He's regularly saying, let's get into the boat of faith and let's cross over the other side. I'm going to take you from here to there. He never says to you or ever says to you, that's it, we're not ever going to move on from here. You've arrived. No, He's always saying, let's cross over to the other side. So they get in the boat to cross the sea. Now, this Sea of Galilee was 8 miles wide and about 12 miles long from north to south. Think about that distance, 12 miles shore to shore. So this was a major journey they were taking, not in a motorboat. They didn't have them. It was either a rowboat or a sailboat. They didn't have any propulsion but what they put into it or the wind blew them. I think they were rowing. Now, the Sea of Galilee can go as deep as 200 feet. So this is a major sea, 12 miles shore to shore, 200 feet deep if you happen to fall in. Now, we know from Scripture's account that a tragic scene awaited them on the other side. When Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side, they didn't know what the other side held, but Jesus did. Because on the other side, they were going to land in a place called Gadara, a town called Gadara. And in Gadara, there was a man. And this man was tragically demon-possessed, enormously demon-possessed, frighteningly demon-possessed. Jesus knew that. They didn't know it. Jesus, being God, knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end of a thing before the beginning of it begins. So he knew what they were going to encounter, but they were going in blind faith. Okay, we'll just go with you to the other side. Jesus knew what they were going to encounter. This was really a mission trip, not a pleasure cruise. It was a mission trip to set a man free. And it says to me that Jesus will cross land and sea. He will move heaven and earth to reach one bound person. Can I tell you today that God knows all about you and he knows all about me. He knows what has got some of you bound up because he knew this man was bound up. And if he didn't set him free, he would never be free. He would die the tragedy that he was before Jesus got there. And it wasn't just a mission trip to set a man free, but a whole town, because this whole town had been locked into the fear factor because of this man. The Bible records that he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, but they couldn't hold him. It says in the Bible, he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. He was supernaturally strong because of the presence of Satan on his life. There was a supernatural quality to this man. He was Herculean in his strength, but the Herculean strength did not come from God. It came from the devil. And they would chain him up because he was a lunatic. And yet he just snapped those chains. And I know people, the Bible doesn't tell me this, but I know people. And I know that if you got a guy in your neighborhood that cannot be bound and snaps chains, and the Bible goes on to describe him that always, night and day, in the mountains and in the tombs, he was crying out 24/7, crying out he could not sleep, crying out because of the torment of his life, crying out in the mountains and in the tombs, cutting himself with stones. He was self-destructive. He's a poster child for what Satan does when he gets a hold of a life. He was fascinated with death. Can you imagine? He hung out among tombs, gravitated to death, destroying himself, cutting himself, crying out, breaking chains. You can't tell me that town was not locked in the fear factor. They locked their doors at night. They had the dogs out front. They were big on pit bulls because this man was frightening. What a tragic scene, homeless, helpless, and tormented. So tragic was his condition that Jesus, who knows everything, decided to make a special trip with his 12 men across the sea just to set him free. I want to tell you today that Jesus will do anything to get to you. Jesus will go anywhere to find you. Jesus will be inconvenienced as much as need be to get to you just to set you free. And folks, let me tell you, there are people just like this man in our culture today who need to be set free, and the Lord is wanting to get to them. The Lord cares about them, knows about them, and he knows about you and about me today. There's not a thing hidden before the eyes of the Lord. He knows what has addicted us. He knows what is binding us. He knows what is haunting us. He knows what is gripping us. He knows the content of our soul. So he got into the boat, and the journey to the other side began. Now, the beginning of their journey was picturesque. It was beautiful. Life was good when they set out. Remember now, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they were going to encounter. The sun was shining. The sky was blue. The wind was at their back. Smooth sailing. The sun glistened off the glassy sea like thousands of sparkling diamonds. Seagulls flew through a beautiful, pristine sky. And you know what? They were excited about their future. as they launched off in the boat, because Jesus had already looked him in the eye and said, I being Messiah, I've called you. I know what you are destined to do, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And these guys were cranked and pumped about their life because of what the Lord had spoken over them. Now they had a real reason to live. It was bigger than fishing, bigger than bringing home enough fish to eat for the evening, then going back out the next morning. No, God had laid his hands on them and they were excited. So here they go, sailing across the Sea of Galilee. But a pleasure cruise suddenly turned into a frightening cruise. A great windstorm arose, the Bible says. The Greek language says literally a fierce gale of violent wind. Violent wind, hurricane-like wind. We're watching a hurricane strike Florida right now. Some of you have been in a hurricane. You've seen them. This was a gale, a fierce, violent, ferocious wind that came out of nowhere. We know from the Sea of Galilee's location that it is subject to sudden storms like this. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. Storms like these would develop when an east wind dropped cool air over the warm air rising off the sea. And this sudden change would produce a surprisingly furious, frightening storm. And that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, everything in a moment changed. It grew bad so fast. It says in the Bible, the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. It began to tilt back and forth, the wind blowing it. It felt like it was going to capsize, and the water filling it felt like they were about to sink. The fear factor gripped the disciples' hearts like a vice. Security gave way to panic. Jesus is asleep. His head's on a pillow. Now, I personally believe he had one eye open. He was testing them. He's just watching to see what they do. But the Bible says he was asleep. And they had this frightening feeling of losing control. All control. No more control. I told last night's service and the early service today that that's why I don't like to fly, because I don't like not being in control. I want to get in the cockpit with that pilot. I want to ask him, did you have a fight with your wife or anything before you got on this jet? I want to ask him, did you get a good night's sleep? Because I don't like not being in control. That's why I don't like flying. I have to plead the blood, pray myself up, get into the Word, and close my eyes, and I'm what they call a white-knuckle flyer. I do not enjoy it because I'm not in control. Anybody understand? Anybody here with me? Amen. Y'all are normal.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Now, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the program at our website, hardwired.org, along with all of the programs from Pastor Jeff. Also, we regularly get emails and calls from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we would love to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111 or through the website hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. Or call 877-884-3111. And now let's get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
But all of a sudden, these guys who were masters of the sea, they had lived their whole lives out fishing, and the sea was their life, and they knew what this meant. This was a huge gale, a storm, and this great storm that struck from nowhere threatened their journey, their boat, their livelihood, and now they're afraid for their life. And there's Jesus, oblivious seemingly to the whole thing, asleep in their storm. Now, before we go further, I want to point out a couple of things here. This storm and this journey across the sea is a picture of life. And the first thing that we need to realize about life is that storms happen when you least expect it. They do not send you a telegram, special delivery, I will be there in a week. Storms come suddenly and they crush us. Just like the waves were beating down on those disciples, the circumstances of life, like great waves, begin to beat upon us and crush us. We wake up one day and the sky is blue, the sun is shining, all is well, and we go to work and we sit down and on our desk is a pink slip. Thanks. It's been real. Oh, and by the way, the 401k is gone as well. And you're out at sea and suddenly there's a storm. Or you go to the doctor for just a normal physical and he comes in and says, sit down, I need to tell you something. Or you wake up one day and the bed's empty and Your spouse has walked out and you didn't see it coming and you've been left alone and you haven't been alone in years and you don't know what you're going to do with your life and you can't believe it because you didn't know anything was that wrong. And how could they have done this? And suddenly the wind is howling and the waves are beating on the boat of your life. Or here's one. Your child drifts into a heartbreaking rebellion against God and against everything you ever taught them. And you begin to wonder, how in the world did this happen? And what did I do wrong? And what could I have done differently? And the storm beats on your life. And it seems like Jesus is far away. It seems like God is way out there. And how did you let this happen, God? And I didn't see this coming. And suddenly you're in a storm. Jesus described it in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed is he who hears these sayings of mine and does them. For when the rain falls and the wind blows and the floods beat on your house, if you are grounded in my word, you will not fall. Jesus knew there would be storms. He didn't say if, he said when the rain falls and the wind blows and the floods beat on the house, when your boat is being tossed to and fro, the boat of your life. They were in the boat in the middle of the sea. Now listen, this storm the disciples experienced, catch this now, struck with Jesus in the boat and when they were in the center of God's will for their life. They were only in the middle of the sea because Jesus told them to get into the boat and he led them there. But wait a minute, I thought if he led me somewhere, I'd be storm free. Well, I'm here today to wake you up. On their way to deliver a man in a town from their own fear factor, from their fear factor, they ran into their own fear factor when this storm struck. They strike in the worst of times. They strike in the best of times. They strike suddenly without warning, even when we're in the center of God's will and Jesus is in our boat. So I want to tell you something today that we need to be very careful how we interpret our storms. Because the natural tendency is to say, well, I must have done something wrong. Or I wouldn't be in this storm. This is because I've done something wrong. My life is not right. And if you're really blessed, you'll get some Job's counselors that'll come walking in. Job had three supposedly best friends, and they came walking in, and they became worse than the boils on his body because they took chapter after chapter telling Job, if you hadn't done evil, if you didn't have secret sin, if you hadn't gotten out of God's will, if you hadn't done this and that or the other, then this would not have happened to you. What have you done wrong, Job? You need to repent. But Job was under spiritual warfare, and Job was being tested by God. And his friends told him wrong. I want to tell you, don't misinterpret your storm, because guess what? You can create your own storm if you want to. It's not hard to do. Just go out and sow to the flesh. Just go out and get out of the will of God. Just get out there and walk away from Jesus and live like the world, and you got a storm coming. Payday will come someday, I assure you. But listen, sometimes storms strike because we're doing something right. Sometimes they strike because we are walking with God and we are seeking his face and we are going on with him and we are growing in grace and he has laid his hand on us and we do have an anointing and we are influencing others for Jesus Christ. And so we experience a storm. Those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer the storm of persecution. Some of us that are walking with God have got a great big target painted on our chest because we are valuable to the kingdom of God. Storms come. And sometimes God allows storms to come to teach us what we're going to need to know. Because listen, these disciples needed to learn something that I'm about to show you they learned. They needed to learn something before they got to the other side because the storm they were in the middle of the sea couldn't compare with the storm they encountered when they reached Gadara and a terribly, violently, frighteningly demon-possessed man came charging right towards them. God knows what your arrivals are going to hold, so he prepares you between A and B for your arrival. Be careful how you interpret your storms. Peter encouraged us in this. He said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. See, he was talking to a church that was going through some fiery ordeals. And they thought, well, wait a minute, I'm saved. Jesus is in my boat. I'm in the middle of the will of God. What is all of this? This is strange. Peter said, it's not strange at all. But watch what he said. I want you to rejoice. Can everybody say with me, rejoice? He didn't say rejoice when you get to the other side. He didn't say rejoice when things change. He didn't say rejoice when the clouds pass. He said right in the middle of the fiery ordeal, when the waves are beating into the boat and you feel like you're about to sink, that's when I want you to get your hands up in the air, and that's when I want you to rejoice. So can we say it again, church? Rejoice. Now say with me, rejoice is a choice. I make a choice to rejoice. Rejoicing will not come and put you in a headlock when you're in the middle of a storm. When you're in the middle of a storm, what you don't want to rejoice. You want to complain. You want to murmur. You want to panic. You want to cry out. You want to say, where is God? But Peter said, rejoice, and here's why. Inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Now, watch this. It's a choice to rejoice. But once you get through to the other side, the overjoying is something that happens to you. You're not having to choose to do it. It's welling up within you. Why? Because his glory has been revealed on the other side of your storm. The end of a storm in the life of the child of God is always his glory is revealed. God is able to make all things work together for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. The Bible says that God makes even our enemies to praise him, makes even negative circumstances submit to him. See, when you get to the other side, God's glory in some way, shape, or form is always revealed, particularly if we go through the trial with our faith intact. So rejoice. In the end, his glory will be revealed. But the next thing I see in this story is the disciples' error. They made a mistake in believing the storm's report more than the Lord's report. Now, here's where I really want to home in and bring something home to us today. They yielded the fear factor rather than the faith factor. When this storm took place, if you read before the storm in your Bible, go back. And what they had experienced a few chapters before the storm, they had already listened to the Sermon on the Mount, the beautiful, glorious, incredible Sermon on the Mount. They had heard the whole thing. And in that Sermon on the Mount, they had heard Jesus say, don't worry about anything. I don't want you to worry because I'm going to take care of you. Your Heavenly Father has got it all under control. I want you to know God's got it. It's okay. You don't ever need to worry. You don't need to worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. They forgot all about that. They had already seen Jesus heal leprosy. They'd already seen him deliver a paralyzed man. They'd already seen him literally raise a man from the dead and pull him out of his coffin and give him back to his mother. They had seen all that, but it all went out the window when the storm hit their boat. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Their ears were filled with the howl of the wind. Their eyes were gripped by the rolling waves. They felt the water rising over their feet and over their legs, and they panicked. And you know what they did? They began to fellowship with their storm. Now, church, hear me. When we're in a storm, there's two voices vying for our attention. The voice of the storm and the voice of the Lord. And oh, our God is so good to get into the middle of the storm with us and talk to us if we will listen to him. But that storm, you need to know, has a voice. And that storm has a message. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to fellowship with that storm and listen to that storm and agree with that storm rather than listening to the voice of the Lord. The storm was saying to them, you're going to die. This is it. You have reached the end. This is the end for you. You thought you had a big life ahead of you. Ha, ha, ha. He's asleep in the boat. He's not even involved with you. Where is he now? You're going down. This is it. You're going into the sea and you're not coming out on the other side. You're going to be swallowed up by this ocean. It's over for you, dude. You ever had a storm talk to you? Every storm brings a message, and the message is fear, and it's doubt, and it's hopelessness, and it's despair, and it wants you to fellowship with it. So that when he says, this is the end for you, the storm says, you say, you know, I think you're right. I really feel like all the circumstances are pointing to this being the end for me. I agree with you, Mr. Storm. Let's take a walk together, and you can keep on talking to me, and I'll keep on talking to you, and let's fellowship, because I agree with you, Mr. Storm.
You've been listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call, 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please, consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to the website hardwired.org. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website hardwired.org. Thank you for your loyal partnership, as we couldn't do this without you. And finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi. And let us know that you listen to the program. That would really make our day. And Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day. And thanks so much for listening to Hardwired.